radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George, we have some breaking news before we get to that Astros highlight. Joe, what happened to our princess?
Yes, sources say, a.k.a. article I just read, that Hawk Tua girl was fired from her job. She was a preschool teacher.
That's not fair.
She got fired.
That's not fair.
I mean, she didn't do anything to the kids.
I'm taking a knee in solidarity.
She just expressed her feelings.
I do always find it weird when teachers get fired for basically going viral is like what they get fired for.
Yeah, like it's not like I get the OnlyFans teachers, right? I get the ones
that
who are,
even that one.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I kind of get that one. Like you make an OnlyFans, like
pay
the students
more.
Can find.
They don't make any
yeah,
money
pay
though.
Pay more.
That's a good point. Pay the teachers more.
What?
But she didn't even do it. She just was in an interview and lost her. Like that sucks.
It is a reminder to always be wary of what you say when there's a microphone near you.
Oh, yeah.
I've been very lucky on that front for a lot of my career. But this is a tragedy. Anyway, let's get people back.
Bring
let's
the vibes
lift
up.
Spirits. Give me an Astros highlight, baby.
Walked five Yankees in 3 2/3 innings and gave up 3 earned runs. And here we go.
Altuve, first pitch swinging, and he puts one off the community leaderboards for a home run. Altuve's third leadoff home run of the season. Didn't waste any time. Only the second home run allowed by Suarez.
Captain Ambush got him.
God.
Got him.
Jeff, what are we doing?
He's like doing a D's Nuts reference now.
Is that a D's Nuts reference?
Yeah, I think so.
Captain Ambush?
No, the got him part.
Oh. Well, there's a lot of usage of got him.
Yeah, but I think that's the most.
In the world?
Yeah. But Captain Ambush, is that's new, right?
That sounds new.
He hasn't called him that before.
I've never heard that ever used before.
I haven't either.
Did someone, now that Crane and Tillman own Space City Home Network, did they tell Blummer, hey, we need nicknames?
He's always done it.
But I feel like it's gone to a new level this year.
I think now it's like every single one of them has a little tag. Maybe that's new. But he would drop... Yeah, I mean, Mom, Meatloaf, is
that one's great. Because that's from Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, Air Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He does that one.
But, yeah, there's no Captain Ambush.
No.
There's no superhero in the Marvel universe, the DC universe, nothing.
I feel like Captain Ambush would be a bad guy.
Yeah.
It does sound
nefarious.
Yeah, I think, yeah. They're on the wrong side of history.
But you know what? In the eyes of many, especially the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend, Jose Altuve is that bad guy.
Good.
Yeah. Good. He's ours, not yours. It was a great weekend by the Astros. I demanded a sweep. I eventually predicted a sweep. For them to do it the way that they did it, without Kyle Tucker, without Justin Verlander, with, honestly, out their backup catcher, with a ton of injuries in the rotation to the point that you brought up a guy who probably should not be pitching in the major league level in Blas, and the poor guy also injured with shoulder discomfort. But the offense carried the load.
Mm-hmm.
27 runs, 35 hits, and Framber Valdez and Ronel Blanco on Sunday and Saturday helped the Astros pitching get a bit of a breather in a week where they're going to have 2 off days. You got to be feeling really good going forward. I get it. They've been a disappointment to this point this year, but I feel like we should all have a little bit of our mojo back. The Astros seem to get their groove back over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a good time. The vibes are good for a reason. And I think back to conversations we've had throughout the year when people talk about like they're beating nobodies. How are you excited about what the Astros are doing when they're beating teams that are below 500 and that's all they're doing? And to go in against the Orioles and the Orioles come to town and you sweep the series, there's every reason to feel good. What they've done is a huge accomplishment in a season in which it's a struggle. If the Astros were good, we would still be talking about this series in I think, in a similar way. That, and I think it shows, Paul, that the expectations for this team, that they haven't met them, that they're still there. This is what we expect the whole season. We expect them to beat good teams. We expect them to beat bad teams. And the hope is now is that this can just continue. That the post-Abreu life will be a good thing for the Astros.
7-2 since they DFA'd, cut, released Jose Abreu.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just been a significantly better team without him this year, both with the Florida stint and this too. It's very strange that his absence has directly seen the best Astros team, and it makes you wonder about last year as well. Obviously, last year they still were able to win the American League West. Was Jose Abreu costing you multiple games? I don't know. Maybe he did. But to what you were saying earlier in the show today, Joe, now that Jose Abreu is gone, the Astros can play their best lineup every day, although for now they're still waiting for a return of Kyle Tucker.
I thought this injury wasn't that serious. Didn't they say he was going to play like the next day?
I mean, let's be honest. Whenever you hear them say about talk about injuries, do you believe them at all? Like, where do you stop listening, zone out, and think to yourself, they're giving me BS again? I mean, 15-day IL already for Blas with shoulder discomfort. I don't even know what the word discomfort means. I thought I was dealing with discomfort because I got a little sunburn.
But you're here.
I'm here. This is discomfort.
Yeah.
Discomfort, I think, is generally something that you're able to play through and deal with. It's not optimal. Discomfort for the Astros is
serious
a
injury.
Much more serious injury than that.
What if Blas does just have, like, a shoulder sunburn? Makes it hard to pitch.
Mm. It would.
It would make it hard to pitch because I imagine those jerseys are not very comfortable on a burnt
and just,
body.
Having to turn it all that.
They said 15 days. So I guess he could be back in 15 days.
No, I mean, but if we're going by the Kyle Tucker, he'll be back this weekend and he's still not back. 10 days. If they start with 10 days, this guy may lose an arm. Like,
Well, and that for Tucker, it's obviously just more severe than they thought, but I believe that they were talking about him playing that Friday. That he could be back in the lineup. And the fact
that
they
had a day off. They had a day off, and then they're like, yeah, with the day off, he'll come back after the day off, and he has not come back.
Nope.
Still limping. Like they're saying Dana Brown said yesterday that he's feeling a lot better. But he's still sore. I mean, there's a chance. Best case scenario might be he's playing in Sugarland on Thursday. That'd be nice.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be great. We saw Yordan Alvarez last
listener
year.
Listener night, baby.
Yeah. Yordan Alvarez showed up to listener night last year. Maybe Kyle Tucker will show up this year. That'd be great. But that's one of the things that's remarkable about this weekend, too, is it's Verlander, it's McCullers, it's Garcia, it's Tucker, it's Caratini. And so you're having to rely on someone like Salazar to catch the game yesterday. That through everything that they've gone through this season, they're 2 games under .500. They gained 4 games on the Mariners to what Dana Brown was saying. By the end of July, we got to cut it in half. They're almost there, technically. I mean, it's not even July 1st. So, if they can do a lot of damage because the Marlins are, I mean, the Mariners fell apart a little bit this weekend. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Marlins, losing 2 out of 3 to the Guardians before that. They've given you a window of opportunity where they're the team that's now not playing good baseball. So, if you're going to make a push, you got to make it now.
I think we'll do this tomorrow. The theme of tomorrow's show is already going to be hunting because the Rockets are hunting big names. Paul George. Hey, Sean, that's not cool, man.
Well, they're hunting.
But we don't shoot them with the gun. We shoot them with a dart. There you go. That sounds experienced dart shooter.
Sounds like a hawk too.
No, it doesn't.
Will I keep my job?
Bad Joe, bad. Bonk, bonk. Bad Joe, bad. Hey, sorry, I got sidetracked for a second on that one.
Yeah, I got lost
in
got
the
lost
hunt.
There.
I started thinking about that, and now I'm back to reality. So we're gonna have to do a in the hunt segment for the Astros right now. Because, okay, the Seattle Mariners still got six games on Houston. But we also look at Seattle's inability to score runs. They do not have much of an offense. That is going to keep the Astros in this thing, ultimately. How close? I don't know. But, I mean, you're in a significantly better position than you were expecting to be after this weekend, thanks to a little bit of help from Seattle. But we're also going to be looking up the other teams that they're competing against in the wild card. I still think it's going to be really hard to catch up to Baltimore, who still has 11 more wins than you, even with you sweeping them over the weekend. But the teams that right now you're competing with for a wild card spot are basically these ones. Toronto, kind of. Toronto is very far out of it. Technically, they are in the American League in, I think, do my math right, 12th or 11th when it comes to the wild card. Then you got Detroit. We don't take Detroit or Toronto seriously. But after that, you got Texas, Tampa Bay, the Royals, Red Sox, and Twins. And if you're taking a look at the division standings, it's hard to imagine the Cleveland Guardians are going to go away anytime soon because they're 49 and 26. Maybe they'll fall back to earth. But those are the teams you're competing with. And because of that pedigree that you have, you feel pretty good about being able to hang in with all those teams in a marathon. Boston has weirdly been good. I can't really explain it. Minnesota's playing very well of late. Kansas City, though, is definitely falling back to earth.
Very quickly.
And you seem to be catching fire right now with a five-game winning streak, the longest of all wild card contenders in the American League. And also just tied for the longest streak in the American League with the Cleveland Guardians.
Honestly, I still wouldn't be surprised if you look at the wild card standings at the end of the season, and it's the Astros and the Rangers are both wild card teams.
Oof.
I mean, Max Scherzer was awesome yesterday. He didn't have to go very deep into the game. He only threw like in the pitches in like in the 50s, but he looked awesome coming back. You never know with him health wise, but they've won four straight games, so they're playing good baseball too. I agree with you about the Red Sox. Like, I'm not sure what they really are. The benefit of what's happening with Minnesota and Kansas City is, you know, yeah, Cleveland has 49 wins, but theoretically they could just beat each other up a bunch and kind of keep you in that wild card race so you can at least catch that. But the expectation still and the hope would be that you still win the division this year, that the Mariners, it is interesting looking at their, like, just like their run splits. They've given up less than 300 runs this season as a team, but they've only scored 314. Their run differential is only plus 17.
Their run differential sucks considering where they're at. And yeah, it's a direct reflection of what we saw. Their pitching is awesome, but their bats are inconsistent, and their best player is not playing well this year, Julio Rodriguez.
Like, yeah, so the Mariners have, their runs allowed is 297. If you look to teams with similar, you look to the Yankees and the Orioles. The Yankees' runs allowed is 290. Well, their run differential is plus 109. The Orioles, their runs allowed this season is 292. Their run differential is plus 111.
That's insane.
So the Cleveland Guardians, their runs allowed 275. Their run differential plus 104. So you have three teams in the American League besides the Mariners whose run differential is over 100. And they've also allowed under 300 runs in the season, where the Mariners, their pitching has been great, but they don't score. You can absolutely catch that team this year if they don't figure out their offense. That winning formula is not sustainable in baseball. You have to be able to score runs. You cannot win every single game 2-1, 3-1. It's just not going to work.
Gallant and George. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Are you back on the Astros bandwagon after a sweep of the Orioles over the weekend? And I guess who's the biggest threat in this wild card race? I can tell you this poor guy, he is getting smeared online, and I'm very curious as to who is behind it. We'll talk about that next. Gallant and George, stick around.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
We do Soft Boys on this show every Wednesday at 12:30. We nominate people who have been soft in the world of sports. I believe we had a nomination today. The golfer who felt threatened by the protesters at the Travelers Championship yesterday. Well, not a soft boy from the 409. Hey, guys, we forgot to give a shout-out to Cesar Salazar for taking a ball to the throat and staying in the game because we had no catcher behind him.
Mm.
Soft boy? Not.
Tough boy.
Very tough boy.
Tough boy.
Hard boy?
Yeah.
I guess.
It's hard boy. It's the opposite of soft.
I mean, his body is clearly hard because
his throat's hard.
His throat just took a ball to the neck, and he stayed in the game. Here's the thing.
Unlike the umpire who had to leave. That's mean.
Soft.
That is kind of soft.
Concussion.
Got to say, discomfort, you can't really use that as an excuse going forward. You're gonna have to hobble it out if you're an Astros pitcher in particular because they only have four starters. This is a very, very fortunate week for them because they have today off and they have Thursday off. I mean, great. But you still need to find a fifth pitcher for your rotation because you don't have that. Discomfort is not going to be, I would imagine, an acceptable excuse in the near future. And I don't know if that means do North Dallas 40 things, which means taking pills, taking shots.
We'll inject though.
But you're at a spot right now where you are going to be testing the limits of everyone in your lineup, in particular pitchers, and that could come to bite you in the keister come September, come October, but you don't really have a choice anymore.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot. I mean, at best, you know, Justin Verlander, you know, could come back against Toronto, but he's still not throwing. So you really can't have Dubin be your long term answer. Like, as good as this weekend went, we've seen the Astros have been forced to rely on certain guys in the bullpen a ton. Brian Abreu leads baseball with appearances. Going to a bullpen game just seems not feasible for this team. But now with Bloss on the 15-day IL, they DFA Blair Henley off the roster. I'm not even sure they have another starter on their 40-man roster that could come up. You'd have to cut someone again to make that happen. The Forrest Whitley's back for the Space Cowboys. We might see him on Thursday night, the ESPN 97.5, 92.5 night. Can't wait.
But Forrest Whitley's back. I'm excited. He better start because I want to know that he's a real person.
I think he's just a relief pitcher, though.
What if you're throwing your first pitch to Forrest
Whitley?
That could be dangerous. I don't want to cause him any discomfort.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I actually think he's not
hurt
allowed.
His hand because
I'd imagine he's not
so
allowed
hard
to do those things.
You got to stay away.
Yeah. Like, you might get hurt doing this.
Baseball injuries are the weirdest injuries.
Honestly, I might, if he goes out there, I might have to try to put a stop to this. Like, I can't have Paul Gallant and Jeremy Branham.
Just like
I can't have like some like schmuck Astros locker room podcast. Be like, ESPN 97.5 host hurt Forrest Whitley.
Just like we don't want the headline of this is the Space Cowboys record before and after 97.5 day. You also don't want the headline radio host injures Forrest Whitley.
Don't want that. I
mean, like, first pitch was too hard.
Yeah, like BK
tried
to hurt Corey Lee.
It was very impressive.
BK tried to hurt Corey Lee last year, tried to make him pull a quad. Like,
well, really, he just hurt our station's credibility.
Yeah, he definitely did. But
I don't know if we're ever getting it back. Yeah. We lost it. Like, wow, we are the most unathletic losers ever.
Which is funny because that's not true. But it does appear that way in that video. From the 409, can Seth Martinez give you four innings? Possibly. Like that could be an option where you try to get three or four innings and do,
I guess,
the Jake Bloss game. But they might need to go to something a little more drastic here if they're not really sure about Verlander.
They don't want to do the opener thing.
Well, if you don't want to do the opener thing, then you're probably going to have to trade for someone. Because if Justin Verlander is still not throwing, at what point does he have to do minor league, at least one minor league start, which means he's a ways away. JP France had a setback recently, so he's not on his way back either.
There's a pitcher in the minors right now who they signed this offseason, and I believe he has an option.
Eric Lauer?
Yeah. July 2nd is his option, so you almost need to potentially have him pitch to keep him on the roster in case he can actually help you out.
But like they could have called him up for all of these.
Exactly.
For the Bloss start, I think Eric Lauer was scheduled to pitch on, I think he pitched on Thursday.
And then there's the tricky thing where they're $4 million under the second threshold for the collective balance tax. So there is an element of penny pinching going on too. But you can't really tell me that the window is always open while I'm here and pinch pennies over a random minor league guy that might need to come up because everyone keeps getting hurt in your pitching staff.
What's Greinke up to?
Zach Greinke, I don't think that he would be up to anything good if he were back in the major leagues.
It's also tough because you need him to pitch like this week.
It's a good point.
Yeah, you're gonna ramp him up.
Yeah, he can't do the Roger Clemens ramp up.
You can't just like throw him out there. Say, hey man, give us 5 innings.
I mean,
throw it so your arm falls off.
His ERA last year was 5. So,
can they bring back Blair Henley? Is it too late to?
I mean,
to Uno reverse.
I feel like
DFA.
We
got to
stop bullying Blair Henley and let him find his footing elsewhere.
Are we sure he should have just been bullying? On the mound?
The city needs him again.
Yeah.
Joe bullies him. The Astros release him. Yeah, come on.
I'm his biggest supporter.
He needs a fresh start somewhere else.
He got DFA'd. I haven't seen any Blair Henley news on the wire, so not sure that's coming, Paul.
Bullying.
Well, bullying. Speaking of the wire, remember how last week we discussed Justin Timberlake getting arrested for DWI in the Hamptons? And
yes.
It was pretty clear that there were lots of things in his system. There was an article that was written about that, and it started off saying the cop who arrested Justin Timberlake didn't recognize him. As if that's an important story. But this is the internet.
Yeah.
It's 2024. It's one of those articles that makes someone like me, like Joe, like Sean, to a lesser degree, feel a little bit old.
Which is...
Because we grew up, and Justin Timberlake was one of the most famous men in the United States of America when he was a part of NSYNC, and then when he did his own little solo venture afterwards.
It's weird because I still view him as very relevant.
He is very relevant, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, he's doing a worldwide tour. But for some... probably not quite as big of a deal. But this story was about how a Gen Z cop, they're slandering Gen Z a little bit here, didn't recognize him. Well, now there's actually an article that has been written about the man who pulled Justin Timberlake over, who seemed, at least per reporting, to have lots of things in his system, but I don't believe was actually tested to prove all of that. This cop, a 24-year-old man, has been nicknamed the Sag Harbor Nazi and a little red-headed dipstick among the wealthy residents of the Hamptons. There is an actual article written about this poor cop about how he is upholding the law a little bit too forcefully in this little quaint rich people town on the beach.
I like that it's the Hamptons that they're like, oh yeah, there's this one cop that's super strict. And it's like just the richest people you can imagine. I mean, literally a place where Justin Timberlake is vacationing. And they're like, oh, but we have this cop.
Someone definitely had been arrested by this person and
yes.
Felt the need to, you know what? I'm going to do my tell-all. I'm going to throw this poor man. We back to blue. We're going to throw this poor man under the bus.
Because he pulled over a DUI.
His article's got like photos of him as a kid with his dad.
It's insane. It's insane. And I don't know if this is Justin Timberlake who's behind it or if this is wealthy people from the Hamptons. But this is what the rich people do.
And this photo of him is so mean. You can tell he just shaved. So he's like breaking out all over his neck. In the main photo of him here.
Oh, yes.
This is tough.
That's not great.
This is so mean.
I think the good thing
is job.
A lot of people seem to realize that Timberlake's PR team and or wealthy a-holes that live in the Hamptons, probably Yankees fans too. What a surprise. It's pretty evident to most people out there that somebody with money is behind this smear job of a police officer for doing his job in a DWI.
Yeah, some CEO who probably got pulled over while he was with his mistress at his beach house in the Hamptons. It's like, no, oh, that guy pulled over Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
I got something for this.
This is why. Because this is a real true man to the badge, okay? This article says that when he was in high school, he was a traffic cop. making $15 an hour, less than $15 an hour. So you're right, Paul. He is this, you know, telling people to stop and go, give her the whistle. Clearly is pissing people off in the Hamptons.
Yeah, I mean.
Going back to when he was 16.
Let's be honest, traffic cops often slow things down. But yeah,
the ones in the Galleria, they all suck at their job.
But, well, listen, all I'm saying is that's their job. They have to do it. It's not an easy job to do. It's a crappy job, I would imagine, if you're a cop. Like, that's not where you want to be, being the traffic cop, unless it brings you some sort of inner peace or maybe you've got a little Napoleon complex or something like that. But this guy just seems to be, like, a young cop, and that was how he paid his dues on the job. And Justin Timberlake's legal team and PR team are, like, trying to slander this guy who, again, pulled over Timberlake for a DWI, and it seems pretty clear that he had it. He was doing something wrong.
Yeah, this isn't the Louisville cops with Scotty Shepard.
Exactly.
Like, where it's like, both sides are kind of in the wrong.
I mean,
the police did not react in a way that you would want. Also, it's ridiculous that he's complaining about his pants ripping. This one is like, no, this he had a DWI. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
It's ridiculous. Someone on the Twitch has a conspiracy theory that his ticket sales are down, so he got busted on purpose to cancel the tour and collect insurance money for the tour. That seems like a little bit too tinfoil hat.
I think if you're going to manufacture something, like a DWI, I don't think is the, like, yeah, what's a crime that, no big deal, but it's big enough to cancel the tour. I don't think they're like, drunk driving? Should he drive drunk?
I will say, if you watch some of the videos of him at his concert, looks a little bug-eyed.
It seems like reckless speculation,
yeah,
Mr.
Like
I have a casual opinion about drugs earlier in the show.
I'm just saying, he looks a little bug-eyed. Just an observation.
Some people have larger pupils than others.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They do.
Maybe his allergies were acting up.
Good point
also. Could have
been that. He had a great concert.
Coming up next, Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got another soft boy nomination. The French keep taking L's before these Olympics. And if you want to talk about the Astros sweep of the Orioles, you can. It's Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Golan and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hits this ball pretty well to left field. Austin Hayes back at the track. He can't get there. It's off the wall. Two runs are going to score. Bregman and Diaz score. Two RBIs for Jeremy Pena. And the Astros pick up two more runs at 7-1.
Jeremy Pena had a lot of hits over the weekend after getting Friday off.
He looked good this weekend, which was very, very, very nice to see. Because I think he was, what, 0-13, 0-14?
Yeah, he was slumping.
Saturday's game. So
they sat him on Friday, and then on Saturday and on Sunday, multi-hit games in each of them. Yesterday, two doubles.
He looked good.
Three doubles since the off day.
He's another one of those guys where when he's going, what he does to the bottom of the order, it really just it makes them so dangerous. Like this is the stuff that you would talk about early on when we first started doing the show about the lineup and expectations and five runs a game is realistic for this team. And then look what they've done this five-game win streak. They've scored four more runs in all of them.
Yep, 14 on Friday, five on Saturday, Sunday, eight. And they got a little bit of help with some of the runs that they scored against the Chicago White Sox on Thursday. But you got to be feeling better about them right now. How long this continues, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to remain resilient, remain tough. But to sweep the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend, as I predicted, in spite of all of those injuries, is truly impressive.
I mean, what they're setting themselves up for, if what their schedule looks like, the first three games of the second half of the season are against Seattle, in Seattle. If you do what you should over the first half of the season, the rest of it, through June, July, halfway through July, against a bunch of mediocre or bad teams, you should be in position to overtake or get within like a game of Seattle after the All-Star break. Because if you win two out of three against Seattle, you should be in position to do more than that. You're going up, they're going down. You're playing easy opponents. You should roll through much of the schedule and just be able to put yourself in a position to where you can really start the second half of the season and try to put the first half, first month, 2 months disaster way behind you. I think that's a fair expectation.
They have to keep doing what they're doing. And I think, yeah, we should hold them to that, but they also deserve a hearty pat on the back, a slow clap perhaps. This is a follow-up story to something that we've touched on before. For those who don't know, the 2024 Olympics are taking place in France, specifically Paris, France. We talked earlier in the show about how the United States is going to be bringing air conditioning units to France for their athletes, even though France is doing a little virtue signaling and saying, hey, we're not going to do any of that in the Olympic Village. There was a story about thousands of French citizens that were planning to poop in the main river that runs through Paris, the River Seine. But since Emmanuel Macron and Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo, who had said that they were going to swim in the river because of the cleanup efforts that are taking place,
yes,
have said that they will not swim in the river for, quote, political reasons, end quote, the citizens planning to do what the French do best, protest, are no longer going to float the river, if you will.
I was looking so forward to that story.
Officials called off the event, planning to drop the kids off in the River Seine while the president and mayor swim in the river.
I mean, I think that's probably the wise move. Just even the threat of being in the water when that happens, don't want to be there. Especially if you're not a great swimmer. You don't want to be stuck there, you know, doggy paddling your way out of there.
I feel like, though, if you're so about the environment and you believe that you've done your due diligence to make the environment better and you've made some bold claim about how you're going to swim in this river that you've spent apparently $1 billion cleaning up.
Yeah.
This disgusting river that's been there for like 1,000 years, essentially, just accumulating gross stuff. Because that's what a lot of these cities essentially do when they're there for a really long time. Sorry, that river, you do not want to swim in that. You are not going to the beach on the banks of this river. If you say you're going to do something as a politician, you got to do it.
Yeah.
I understand that they don't always do it. I mean, you can be quite the politician by making lots of promises and delivering on none of them. But if you say you're going to swim in the river that you've spent $1 billion cleaning up, you got to get in it. And I feel bad for these French protesters who are looking forward to protesting. It's a sport in France. They would take home the gold, silver, and bronze if protesting was an Olympic sport. And the politicians of France have taken it away from them.
Do you think that the river is just, it's still really dirty?
Yes, it is. Definitely really dirty. There's no way you can clean a river with dangerously high levels of bacteria, no matter how much money you're throwing at it. It's a river, and it's still got, so I'm assuming it's flowing, and it's got tons of bacteria in it. Oh, the bacteria's going nowhere.
And they are swimming in it in the Olympics, to be clear.
Oh, really?
Yes. The Olympic marathon swimming events will take place across 2 days.
You're going to wear two
with
wetsuits?
The women's 10K held on August 8th and the men's a day later on the 9th. The events are, for now, being held in the River
Seine.
Yeah.
They should poop in the river those days.
Probably should.
The river's always going to be there. You can poop on it whenever it's the most inconvenient.
You can hold the swimming event somewhere else. It's okay.
That is true.
Find somewhere else to do it.
Or like a different river?
Or, you know, just like different country or state.
No. Because it's being done because the president and the mayor said that they were going to swim in the river. So it has to be in that river. And if they're not going to do it, maybe you should just do it anyway. Just add to the bacteria. You may as well. If you said you're going to do this protest, at least hold up your end of the bargain.
No, but I'm saying they should wait until the day before the swim meet. The swimming
event. But you don't
want
to do it to the swimmers.
Come on.
They're your countrymen.
There's going to be French people.
Only one of them. Or two of them, maybe.
Yeah.
Still, you don't want to. No, it's not about the athletes.
And you don't want to start World War III about it because, you know, you pooped in the river.
That'd be funny, though. It'd be so funny.
I mean, it would be a funny way to start in World War III.
No, but then, like,
you gotta look at the comedy in it, Joe.
Kids in ninth grade would have to learn about how they pooped in a river, and that's how it started the World War.
That's how it started. But yeah, I mean, like, You're doing this to punish the politicians. I'm just disappointed that this protest is not actually happening. It's to say you're not doing it for, quote, political reasons, end quote. Come on. Because you're cowards.
I also
soft
don't.
Boys.
The Olympics are weird, man. It's all of it is weird.
Why?
You see what happened with what's happening with 2028?
No.
They're not playing softball in California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're playing in Oklahoma City.
So?
But the Olympics are in California.
I thought it was like in the entirety of the United States.
No, that's the World Cup.
Gotcha.
No, the Olympics.
It's
so,
in Paris. It's in Beijing. It's in
so softball and whitewater events in 2028 are going to be in Oklahoma City.
Well, for all the foreigners who hate on our country, I'd like them to have to go to Oklahoma City.
Seriously, like
I want them to be stuck in Oklahoma City, and I want them all those people who hate on our country from the outside. I want them to experience what they think our country is.
Oh, the Russian softball team is going to love OKC, I'd imagine.
I get that. I mean, they host the college
the Big
softball
12 championship,
World Series there.
Yeah, every year. The College World Series, I believe, are there every year.
There has to be somewhere closer or better that you don't have to send. You don't have to send these people to Oklahoma City. Like, is there one in Phoenix that can't? They
that's
can't
what I'm saying.
Play?
Like, you couldn't do Vegas. Like the Olympics every 2 or 4 years, depending on which one it is. It always seems like it's just a total disaster, and you spend all this billions of dollars, like, for this river, and then it's time for the Olympics, and everyone's just like, oh, we're not ready yet. And then you just abandon all the buildings when you leave. It's a great business model.
I kind of like it. Just abandon buildings. It's a little tribute that we pay to ourselves. The grandeur of humanity.
Mm. Yeah.
Just these buildings last forever, just like flags. Flags fly forever. Buildings last forever.
Yeah, no one's like, ugh, the pyramids. They just built them and left, you know?
I mean, they could still be
That's what people are going to do to the softball field 2,000 years from now.
We don't know if the pyramids are still active or not. If aliens really are inside there, you know, they're still moving and grooving.
Wait. We don't know if the pyramids are active? Are inside it?
There's people that think aliens built the pyramids, and like they're like, you know, super high technology, and they're still in there somewhere.
They're still in there?
Yeah.
It's still, they use bricks.
It's their operational.
It's not like it's the highest technology. They use bricks.
I got into a really weird podcast like 2 months ago. I got out of it because I was like, this is too far.
How long were you in it?
I mean, I used to do like a lot of driving, so I needed to find podcasts, and I found this podcast.
Well, damn, how much driving are you doing?
I mean, I used to do 4 hours driving a day.
4 hours a day?
Yeah.
From League City?
I used to, when I lived in Kingwood, I would drive to League City to drop off Joseph with either my parents or my wife's parents. I would then drive to the Galleria. And then after work, I would drive back to League City to pick him up. And then I would drive to Kingwood to go home.
They couldn't drive to you?
They work.
Oh.
That's how we didn't pay for daycare for so long, was doing 4 hours of driving a day. That's why we left Kingwood, because we'd go back to League City.
And so you're listening to these.
Dude, so I was listening to every podcast I could find. I got tired of music, and I found this conspiracy podcast, and one of the first episodes was why aliens built the pyramids.
Why did it start getting, like, crazy? Is that why you stopped
listening? It wasn't crazy there.
No, I think at one point they did, like, a time traveler killed JFK, and I was like, I'm out.
What?
Oh, that's where you left.
I thought you were going to say, like, it started getting anti-Semitic or
no,
like,
nope.
No.
I was like,
it sounds like it was getting fun.
Too dumb of an idea. Yeah. Sorry.
I was like, aliens, yes. Time travel, out. Can't handle it.
All right, Joe George. You got some interesting, some would call eclectic podcast taste.
That's true.
Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros swept the Orioles over the week, and if you want to get any final thoughts in on that, coming up next, we wrap things up with Garbage Time. And in Garbage Time, I had no idea what this famous Houston celebrity, who's in hot water, actual name was until this past weekend. It is quite the name. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Last chance to dance, Galant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Make sure you come out and hang out with us, listener night at the Sugarland Space Cowboys game on Thursday. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel or join us on Twitch. So the Astros swept the Orioles over the weekend. They have tonight off. They play the Colorado Rockies Tuesday, Wednesday, and another day off. We'll see what they do with the rotation, seeing as Jake Bloss is at least on the 15-day IL with shoulder discomfort. I really wish that they would find another word than discomfort. I understand that the Astros this year have proven that they like to say the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
They fall into some bad habits, the back of the baseball card, among other things that they have said. But can we say something other than discomfort that's involving a 15-day absence?
Yeah, they clearly go with discomfort is just he's hurt, and then they tell us the truth once a little bit later. Like Victor Caratini was discomfort, and then it turned, and I think it was a quad, I believe they said.
Why don't they just say his leg is hurt? How about that? Do they have to say like sore quad?
I hurt leg. Let's go to hockey.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do the hockey thing where they're just like his shoulders. He has discomfort in his shoulder, so he's hurt.
In hockey, they just say upper body, lower body.
Yeah.
You can nearly get decapitated, and they say upper body injury.
Upper body.
I think that's what they're trying to do. I think they're just trying to say, like, this hurts. And you know what hurts? Having a torn rotator cuff. Turns out he has a torn rotator cuff. He's out for the rest of the year.
I think it's the follow-up that happens that annoys people the most. Like with Bloss, he has discomfort, and then they do Dana Brown does an interview, and they go, everything's, like, good results from the MRI. And then should be able to start throwing as soon as his 15 days up. But it still feels inevitable that, like, his shoulder is going to fall off and he's going to be out for the season. And look, I know they can't predict Tucker. He clearly either had a minor fracture or just really bruised the hell out of his leg from hitting the ball off of it. But we went from him playing Friday after an off day to still not being ready for baseball activities.
Yep.
It feels like it's been 20 days.
And even in other sports, like they just say what's hurt.
They're just honest.
They just say, like, he has a sprained shoulder, so he's out. He has a hairline fracture in his leg, so he's out. Like, that doesn't go like, well, we'll see. Well, he'll join us for the road trip, and then you see him limping. why are we pretending? Like, that. I think that's where it all boils down to. It's like, I understand you don't need to actually tell the truth. I don't really understand what they're gaining from
saying discomfort all the time.
Well, no, discomfort I'm okay with. It is what Joe is saying, where it's the discomfort, he'll be back soon, and then actually he won't be back for several weeks. Like, it's like, why are you lying to me? Like, if you want to say discomfort, sure, and that's like a catch-all term. If you have knee discomfort, it could be sore, it could be a sprain, it could be a torn ACL. That's fine. Just don't tell me it's a sore knee and then it's a torn ACL.
I wish it would be Bill O'Brien who used to say day to day all the time.
He did.
I don't know what day to day means, but day to day could be something bad and could be something not that bad, where discomfort, I'm assuming, is not that bad.
I mean, the new version of this, though, is just straight up being wrong or lying to us. I mean, Victor Caratini, they said he had a quad injury. He's out. He has a left hip flexor strain. Those are not the same. Okay,
two different body parts.
Christian Javier.
Well, the quad's close. The quad bone's connected to the hip bone.
I'm sure it is. And then
that's a muscle. I know.
I didn't even hear that. Christian Javier had a neck injury and then had Tommy John. So like now it's like they're telling us A and it's Y.
Maybe they need better imaging technology.
Better they're doctors?
They're using an x-ray from like 1935 that's giving these guys like massive tumors
It's just so hard to find, you know, a good hospital here in Houston. Who can blame them?
That's so true. All right, time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Any of you guys familiar with Jack Berman Webster? Ever heard of him?
Definitely not.
That is Travis Scott's real name.
Oh.
I found that out because he got arrested at Miami Beach Marina.
What did he do?
Well, it seems that at some point he cried based on his mugshot, where he does seem to have tears in his eyes. I don't know if he got pepper sprayed or something like
that. Boy.
But he was trespassing at a Miami marina, as one does, and charged with trespassing and disorderly intoxication. Police were called due to a disturbance on one of the yachts. And when they arrived, they found Jacques Berman Webster II yelling at people on a boat. The arrest report states officers asked Scott to sit down, but he kept standing up and ignored their requests. They could smell alcohol on his breath. The person who called the police said he didn't want to press charges. He just wanted Scott to leave the boat. Authorities warned Scott to leave the dock or he would be arrested. Scott walked backwards, yelling at people on the boat, ignoring the officer's orders, eventually returned to his car, told security to get out, and threatened to fight anyone who got into the car. A little street cred, at least, from Mr. Musical Theater.
They haven't had a smear campaign on the officer here.
Oh, don't worry. It's coming.
Yeah. I'm sure Tony Busby will be on the other side of this one, too.
Yeah.
It is Miami, so perhaps things are easier to hide there than in other cities,
if
you
will. Isn't that where Tyreek Hill slapped someone? Wasn't that Miami?
Yeah, people get in trouble in Miami.
Yeah.
Things happen in Miami.
Especially on boat docks, apparently.
Yeah. So, Jacques Berman Webster II.
I didn't know that.
Travis Scott. Stargazer.
For some reason, I thought Travis Scott was actually his name. I know normally, like, rappers and musicians don't do that, but Travis Scott just seems so simple. Maybe I'm just a dumb. I don't know.
We're stargazing. I'm dodging civil suits. George Springer, guys. Worst OPS in baseball. Yikes. Move aside, Jose Abreu. George Springer time.
It's worse than Marky Maldonado.
His OPS right now is the worst among qualified hitters.
566.
Well, I don't know if he qualifies. He's batting under 200 as well.
Yikes. What happened to him?
I don't know. I suppose a player in Pittsburgh by the name of Jared Triolo has actually overtaken George Springer with a 562 OPS, but Springer is batting 191 on the year. It's a bummer that he left. We all like George Springer, but
The Astros, for the most part, have gotten most of those signings correct.
Yeah, Garrett Cole's really the only one who's been great.
And even then, I think it was always clear he didn't want to be here. He didn't want to stay here.
I wonder what would have happened if AJ Hinch used him in Game 7.
He would have worn a different hat.
He would have worn the World Series champion hat, and then he would have...
If you wore the Scott Boras hat after winning the World Series, that would have been the most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah. That's the... When you try to defend him, it's like, well, he obviously was upset. That's why you wore the hat. Like, he would not have done that if they would have won.
And so, speaking of the Washington Nationals, who won that World Series, the Washington Nationals lost a game last night on a walk-off pitch clock violation, the first time in Major League history. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Congrats to the umps. Great weekend.
That's not the ump's fault. That's the pitcher's fault. Pitch the effing ball. I like it. Speed the game up. It's the regular season. You're the Nationals. It's a Nationals-Rockies game. Who wants to watch more of that?
That's good point. I've always just wondered what they would do in the playoffs.
The playoffs, I think they would ignore it.
I would hope so.
I would as well on that front. That's going to wrap up today's Gallant and George. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, to Joe George, and to the Astros, who made my prophecy come true with a sweep. A sweep, I said. A sweep happened. Coming up next is the Killer Bees. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.